What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Wrestling Edition, with your host Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Oh boy.
It has been a busy week in the combat sports world. We just finished recording a UFC podcast talking about all the craziness going on in the UFC, so make sure you go check out the Stick Boy and the We Talk page and feeds, and go check out what we talked about in the Melee for UFC 229. But now we're going to go on the other side of the world. We're going to talk some wrestling and talk about New Japan, and what a show for New Japan this week, Joel.
Oh boy, there was some talks and conversations about just the state of them, and just the overall feelings that maybe it's gotten a little quiet. They suddenly introduced Cody into the dream match of Kenny versus Ibushi, and boy, did it pay out for them, because boy, do we have a lot to talk about. I'll start off with the first one, and the first bit of information is the one that I have the least bit of information on, but I'm going to be following along to learn more. But with Hiromu Takahashi's brutal neck injury, he is no longer an ingovernable member due to his injury. He will come back. He will be a member of them once he's fully healed up, but to solidify the group's power, they had to bring in someone else, and they brought in a star from Dragon Gate, which is a loss for them, according to several people that watch and follow those products. His name is Shingo, and he has debuted as their junior heavyweight, and they were advertising that a new member would debut. There was a lot of speculation on who it would be. He's got history with Naito. So now they have another member to kind of round things out. He'll be teaming with Bushi for the junior tag team tournament that they have. And it's going to be interesting. He's another guy that adds a fresh face to the top of the junior heavyweight division, which is good. And yeah, I'm excited to see what more he can do, what his style is. I really liked when the Time Bomb debuted. So hopefully this is kind of something similar to just not necessarily what the Time Bomb was, but just a very, very good wrestler to help add to their group. It'll be very interesting when Takahashi comes back and how the group dynamic plays out. So there's definitely a storyline there. It's going to be interesting. It's nice to see them have another member. And moving along, speaking of the junior heavyweight division, we had the finals with Marty and Kushida, and Marty just couldn't catch a break. I guess those Rainmakers from Okada really knocked him back to 205 Live, because he could not get the win, and Kushida is often claimed as the ace of the junior heavyweight division, and now he is a six-time IWGP junior heavyweight champion heading into Wrestle Kingdom. There's a lot of fresh opponents for him to face heading into Wrestle Kingdom, so this could easily be a triple threat, fatal four-way. I know Japan doesn't like to do those, and I foresee they'll be doing a singles match, but Kushida is so damn talented that any match anyone that he faces at Wrestle Kingdom is going to be a lot of fun. There was some speculation they might put the title on Marty, but the feeling was Kushida all the way, and they played it out predictably, but that's okay, because sometimes predictability is a good thing for wrestling fans, and I'm really happy to see Kushida with that title. It's a shame that Takahashi's run was cut short, because I really like Takahashi. So we'll see. Hopefully the Hiromu can come back, and him and Daryl can take back that junior heavyweight title. But for now, the man that loves the hoverboard and wants to go back to the future is holding the title.
Yeah, it seems like I'm very happy to have Kushida back with that title. Him and Marty had an outstanding match, and like you said, I'm very interested to see what he can do at Wrestle Kingdom and who he can face at Wrestle Kingdom. Who would you say right now could be the leader for Kushida to face? Because Will Ospreay, I maybe put as an option there. They had a great match in the Super Juniors a few years ago, last year actually. But Will Ospreay beat a heavyweight, so maybe Ospreay's moving up. So we'll get to the Ospreay part in a second, but who could you see Kushida going on to face now?
I have no idea. There's a lot of options. I think we'll have a better picture after Power Struggle. I think that'll kind of solidify where that's going to go. But you've got a few names floating out there. So I'm excited to see who draws Kushida's card for that big spot.
And as for Ospreay,
he pinned a heavyweight.
Which doesn't happen very often.
No. So the feeling is that this could be the slow build for Ospreay to become a heavyweight, which is terrifying because I'm fearful for his neck. But it seems to have worked out for Ibushi so far. So, I mean, it should be okay. I absolutely think Ospreay can be transitioned to a heavyweight. I mean, we've seen the success that Omega has had from the transition. I think Omega's a bit more built to be a heavyweight. Ospreay is going to have a little bit more of a size disadvantage with that. And it's going to be interesting to see. But if this is his movement forward, I like it. I'd like to see him move into the heavyweight division, because I think there's a lot of good matches. Him versus Okada in a match that means something. Him versus Omega, him versus Cody, him versus Naito, him versus Ibushi. I don't know if our necks can survive it, because while they're taking neck bumps, I think we as viewers will probably end up taking a few neck bumps as well.
I would agree. The Bullet Club. A lot going on there.
So, the OGBC, well, they found a new member, and it was the guy that kind of kicked Okada out of Chaos. So what happened was, Jay White got to challenge Tanahashi for the right to the contract for Wrestle Kingdom 13, not WrestleMania, Wrestle Kingdom. And Tanahashi retained, and he was kind of beating down Tanahashi again, and out comes the biggest rival in Tanahashi's career, Okada, to make the save, and he's getting ready to go after Gedo and go after Jay White, and then Jado comes out, and he's got a Rainmaker shirt on, and he's trying to play the peacemaker. He's like, hey, you know, I'm a Rainmaker fan. We can all get along here. Let's all calm down. Let's not do anything too rash. Then out strolls the BCOGs, the firing squad, Tama Tonga, Bad Luck Fale, Tangaloa, and their junior heavyweight, which I will butcher his name, so I will not say, but I think it's Ishimori?
Ishimori?
I think so.
Yeah, I think you did a pretty good job there.
I'm fearful that I butchered it and said it completely wrong. So, and Mo will make fun of me for that. So I'm just gonna leave it be. They had come out and they circled the ring and then they grabbed Gato, and it looked like they were setting him up for Okada to clock. And when Okada went to go clock Gato, he ate a stun gun, which a very high stun gun. Tama Tonga gets up very high for those. And lays out Okada, and then motions in for Jay White, and Jay White comes in, and now we have the new ace for the Bullet Club, their new heavyweight that will go for the IWGP heavyweight title or try to compete for it in Jay White. Clearly, Jay White did not want to be part of Kenny's version of the Bullet Club, and he much liked Fale's and Tama Tonga's version of the BC. So the new ace has formed. The guy that at New Year's Dash got offered a Bullet Club shirt took a little bit of time, but he finally accepted it. This is big. Like this is obviously the match at Wrestle Kingdom, Jay White versus Okada. And oh boy, this is Gato now in Bullet Club is kind of weird. So we'll see how long this lasts. This is a big deal. Like this is a really big deal. They're clearly fully behind Jay White now. and he could potentially be positioning himself. I do wonder if they're building up Jay White as in case Kenny leaves for their is it Gajan or Gajan
performance? I'm not sure.
The building him up for that role as being one of the top four in case Kenny leaves. If not, he's a nice five to have around. There's a bunch of other names, Ishii. There's a lot of names.
The teams have done a lot with Jay White in a year. Like it's crazy the thing. Like at the beginning of the year, he beat Kenny for the Intercontinental Championship, and then he's kind of had this back and forth, the guys in chaos, kind of all year. And then we finally hit the breaking point for him going against the chaos, and now he's going to have that match against Okada at Wrestle Kingdom. And it seems like Okada hasn't lost at Wrestle Kingdom for a while. It seems like it.
He's now it's going to be interesting because I could see Jay White beating him. I absolutely could.
Would too.
But, I mean, with Gato and long-term booking, he could look at it as Kenny Okada can't lose now because Okada's got a bigger loss coming up at another Wrestle Kingdom.
Well, plus, got to think of the MSG show too, right?
Yeah, but I think the Tokyo Dome's so important that I think they're saving that Okada loss for a must happen moment, and that could be Naito. That could be Naito would be the only one. Naito and Jay White are the two that come to mind for me for. It could definitely use a Okada loss. So I'm very interested to see how this plays out because this ties into, again, the Okada falling apart and him having the balloon and him just not being the same Okada without the IWGP heavyweight title.
You gotta get the shorts back. Lose the pants.
Oh, no, the shorts are okay now. I kind of, after playing Fire Pro, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I like the pants more.
Interesting.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, but Jay White is now the ace of the BCOGs, and apparently Finn Balor, Prince Devitt, was the one to introduce Fale to Jay White many years ago. So it's kind of being played off as this is Devitt's pick.
Interesting.
So a little bit of callback to the past. I haven't seen anything from our Phineas friend in WWE, though. He's busy tag teaming with Bailey, so
yeah, yeah. Tough night in the mixed match challenge tonight.
Did he?
Oh yeah, against Braun and Amber Moon.
Did so? I take it Braun won.
Braun did win, yeah.
Yeah, poor Finn. Poor Finn. Mm. But hey, his pick's doing well, so that's got to mean something.
And then that evil Zack Sabre match, man.
Yeah, that was I feel like that was the most WWE moment that we've seen in New Japan, advertising a match and then, you know, this fan just attacks Evil, and he's cosplaying as this emo guy that's just got black paint, and he may be the greatest wrestler of all time, just how things go, and the rumors of Chris Jericho just continue to grow. The legend of Chris Jericho is going to be massive when Jericho's time comes to retire.
And WWE stole the Jericho gimmick this week.
He did. They
his,
did.
His gimmick is unmasking. Stop it, Kurt.
Because is this the second or third time he's? I think this is the
third time he did it to NATO.
Then he did it to Kenny.
Then he did it to Kenny, and now he's done it to Evil. This is and he originally did it to no. Originally, Malenko did it to him.
Yeah.
So he waited all these years, and he's like, Malenko, I'm stealing your gimmick.
And now the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla has many curse words.
Oh, he's done it four times. We saw the first time he did it.
I'm sure he's done it a few. No, he did it to Ray the first time. I think he did it to Ray.
No, yeah, he did to Ray, but we saw him do it live in Toronto.
With Sin Cara mask.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, Jericho seems to like to pull the mask off and attack people. I don't know what that says about his character or his quality of being a decent human being or not, but he went after and he beat up Evil and he kind of went after Naito. Kind of chasing after him.
That's probably Wrestle Kingdom, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, Naito and Jericho, because I think Jericho beats Evil, and then that sets up Naito getting revenge on Jericho and vanquishing him from New Japan.
As I say, that will end Jericho's New Japan run.
Unless Jericho wants to wrestle for New Japan at MSG.
I mean, there's still, if he gets down to lightweight, even like a Tanahashi match is still there for Jericho and Okada. He hasn't wrestled either one of them. He could still face a Will Ospreay. He could still face a Kushida if he wanted to. Marty Scurll. There is a lot of people, and that's just like the tip of the iceberg of people that Jericho can still face.
And just as a side note, I mean, we could be seeing Jericho face Brian Cage, Johnny Impact, Austin Aries. Hey, Josh, what show are they on?
Impact, which we'll get to at the end of this.
It's an interesting time in Jericho's career. So yeah, no, we got Chris Jericho, Zack Sabre Jr., and Evil had a 9-star classic, but no one will ever know because of Jericho.
And then I guess it finished with Kenny pinning Kota, which I guess surprised a lot of us.
Yeah, no, didn't expect that. And Kenny was more concerned about Kota's health and well-being than the title. So again, his focus is on the Golden Lovers. It seemed like everyone's getting along now. There was no ill will towards Cody, though they did powerbomb Cody through a table at one point in the match. But I mean, all is fair in love and war for the IWGP heavyweight title.
Well, there is one problem with Cody and Kenny.
Yeah, and it's Blue Chew.
He tried to get him this Blue Chew, and he just wouldn't have his Blue Chew.
Yeah, I think he was concerned that Cody got a message from this mysterious letter H.
Yeah.
No, Kenny retained, and the match has been solidified for Wrestle Kingdom 13. It is going to be Kenny Omega defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship against the Ace of Japan, the man that carried the brunt of the workload for New Japan, the man that basically this feud between the two of them is because they have different philosophies of what pro wrestling is. That's their feud. Try to tell Vince that and see what he does. So this is big. This is Kenny's first time being the champion headlining the Tokyo Dome. It could be his last. We don't know what's going to happen. But we'll talk about that in a moment. This is big. Japan definitely kind of bounced back after All In. You kind of felt like there was a wrestling lull. And then the minute BTE comes back, it seems like it springs right back up. So
yeah, it was kind of, you know, you had All In, and then there was kind of a lull. WWE was doing whatever they do. Even they had quite a few off weeks, and then even they had a really good week this week, which we're going to get into in a second. But I didn't get to watch as much of this show, and that's why we had Joel do such a tremendous job of recapping it. But even just hearing about a lot of it, it does sound like they did such a tremendous job of building storylines and getting ready for Wrestle Kingdom, which is just about 2.5 months away.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy that we're already marching towards this big show. And I mean, we talk about waiting for, okay, well, what's going to happen with the Elite's contracts? Where is everything going with that? And we're closing in on the end of the year. This is something we were talking about at the beginning of the year, where everything's going to kind of play out and everything. And now we're one step closer to finding out all the answers for everything.
We thought the biggest story was going to be Daniel Bryan's contract, and that got ended within 2 months into the year, and that never really became a story ever again. There was kind of whispers, oh, will Bryan resign or will he not? But it kind of didn't become anything. And now the biggest storyline this whole year has been what will happen with the guys from the Elite. Will they stay in New Japan and Ring of Honor, or will they go to the WWE? And I think, you know, you saw being the Elite this week, and now more than ever, they are really hinting of maybe making the jump. And I think have had so many conversations about this over this past year off the air. And it's really hard to tell what's going to happen, if they're going to go or not. Part of me almost wants to say, like, they're just being super cheeky and they know that, or are we all overthinking it and saying they're definitely not because they're being too cheeky, so they are going to go. The funny thing about this last being the elite is a lot of the things that us as wrestling fans have talked about with our friends or on Reddit or wherever, we're all kind of hinted at this last being the elite.
Yeah, they've teasing a few things. I mean, wrestling, the biggest story from being the elite, and it wasn't this week, but it was last week, was what are they going to put on Hangman Page's feet? And Triple H took care of him. Triple H, with that Performance Center money and that Saudi Arabia money, was able to get
those DX shirt money.
Yeah, well, that will be coming in soon enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to want to bring the Young Bucks in to help sell that DX shirt, because they pretty much were copying DX. So they'll need them to help sell. I mean, Sean's bald now, so you're going to need a couple people with long hair. I mean, with Kenny, the long rumor of him being fourth in the Royal Rumble, that's going to be such a big deal this year, is who's number four at the Royal Rumble.
Has that been the rumor that he'd be number four?
No, but it was just, it's kind of funny that they, as we sit there and kind of wait, is like, who's number four? Because I think AJ was number three, wasn't he? Yes, yeah. He was number three in the Royal Rumble. And now he is on the face of a WWE video game. Weird times. Yeah. And then with them teasing and building potentially a program with AJ. I mean, Kenny Omega versus AJ Lee would be a fantastic match, but I don't know if that's a major draw to bring you into a
company. Crazy is their superpower, so.
This is true. This could defeat Kenny.
Intergender match we all want.
Yeah, no, we don't want some soccer mom to face Kenny Omega. We want AJ Lee.
Yeah,
I mean, in all honesty, AJ Lee versus any number of talent from the women's division right now would be fantastic. But
Kenny can just face all the spouses.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
Kenny can have a match against both Bellas. He can have a match against Chelsea Green. He can have a match against Naomi. He can have a match against Lana. He can have a match against Britt Baker. We could just go on and on.
Yeah.
Britt Baker could get revenge, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, those good Christian boys said that all you have to do is repent, and it's okay if you murder someone. So we know the truth now.
Yeah, Britt Baker wasn't thinking that. Britt Baker lost her boyfriend.
Yeah. Poor Adam Cole. Have you seen him around recently?
I have. He has the triple threat match tomorrow.
You mean his ghost has the triple threat match?
His ghost has a triple threat match.
So how does that work? Do you just try to grab him, and when you phase through him?
I don't know. It's a ghost versus a guy with a broken foot, right?
Oh, God. We didn't even put that on our list. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't really have any. We'll get into WWE. We didn't have NXT on this list. Let's get to the show tomorrow. We're going to record this before the show tomorrow. There's a triple threat match between Adam Cole, Pete Dunne, Ricochet, and Pete Dunne has a foot injury. It sounds like it's a minor foot injury, and it shouldn't affect him too much going forward, but it was enough to pull him off of some shows this weekend.
Well, if I remember correctly, Pete Dunne has been the UK champion for I think he surpassed Brock. I think.
Because he wanted that Chicago show. That was like in May 2017.
Yeah, he's held it for 506 days.
Jeez.
So, we won't talk about that because he's just the UK champion. It doesn't matter, right, Josh?
Apparently not.
I really like Pete Dunne. I really, really, really like Pete Dunne. So I hope this is nothing serious.
Me too. And also, Keith Lee's going to be fighting tomorrow as well against Reeves.
And as Mo said, Vince is just going to take Keith Lee right away because he's going to see the size of that man, and he's going to see how athletic and how talented he is, and he's going to bask in his glory.
We're also seeing a little bit of Johnny kind of going back to the Johnny Gargano that we used to know. It seems like they're kind of hinting towards that again.
Well, much like Spider-Man should have done in the Venom movie, he's ripping off that symbiote, and he's going to be returning to the classic red and blue.
So War Games will be the next show. We'll talk about that as it goes. It was a busy week for the WWE this week, and although the Saturday show in Australia has fans, I don't want to say split, but you know, there was one or two highlights. The real highlight was that both Raw and SmackDown were both not terrible. They were both decent shows.
It's weird when you can say that they had a decent show, because usually.
But back to back nights too, like it was the best Raw I had seen in a long time, and Raw viewership rebounded this week too. It's the third lowest of the modern era, but it's higher than the past week, and that says something considering it was going against a Red Sox Yankees game. That's always a big rivalry, and they were going against Drew Brees breaking the NFL passing record, so they had no shortage of sports competition, but they jumped up a little bit, and I think a lot of it, Joel. I think a lot of it was a lot of those attitude guys and girls that they brought on the show, and they started the show off with DX, and well, you know, we're going to get into that, but I think that helped.
It's funny you mention all this, because when we do these podcasts, just as a little bit of breaking the fourth wall, I'll keep an eye on, see if there's anything wrestling related news that pops up or breaks that can potentially add to the conversation. It's funny you talk about those Attitude Era guys, because now there are some very serious rumors floating around. Nothing double verified, as we like to talk, as we like to say. But it sounds like there's going to be a match at WrestleMania 35. We don't know who his opponent's going to be, but that guy that was retired for 8 long years and that respect was never there is going to have a match at WrestleMania one more time.
Yeah, so you're talking about Sean.
Yeah, so it sounds like more and more of those rumors are starting to gain traction, and I don't want to get into too much speculation, because we could literally spend a whole podcast talking about who he could face. I think everyone can agree that the match for him is the face that runs the place, the guy that should never have clicked in WWE, but yet somehow Vince's new favorite toy, closing in on a year with the WWE title. He still has to get through Daniel Bryan, but it's AJ Styles versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. That's the match.
Yeah, so John, he announced his return to the ring because of the lack of respect from Taker. You and I had kind of talked about this during our hiatus away from the show off air, about the time in the Performance Center and how that was going to break him down and make him get that itch, and it seemed to have got that itch.
Do you think that was Vince's and Hunter's plan, where they keep going to Sean being like, hey, can you do this? And Sean's like, nope, I'm retired.
And then I think so. I think it helped.
You think Vince and Hunter were just sitting in the office space going, okay, we want him to wrestle. He's going to want to wrestle. What can we do? Well, just make him a trainer at the Performance Center. And he's apparently flying out for the UK tapings. So he's very much...
When are those? After 1,000?
I think so. I believe it's after 1,000 that he's flying out there for it. He's submersed himself in wrestling again. And I think just after you see the talent of some of the guys like an Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, you surround him not by what's on the main roster, but you surround him with the young, vibrant youth of NXT. And I think it becomes like, oh man, I go out there and I could do this and I could do this. Like you remember, you never read it, but Daniel Bryan's book talking about when Sean was forcibly retired because of his back, and when Sean was kind of trying to train these guys, and he goes in and starts taking bumps, and his mom yells at him because he shouldn't be taking bumps. But it's just that chomping at the bit to wrestle again. I think this is exactly this playing out again. Is they probably saw Johnny take a bump, and he's like, well, no, John, let me show you how to take a bump. And then Sean just started taking a bunch more bumps, and he took a couple bumps for The Undertaker. What do you think of the table spot?
It's fine. I was more concerned about the Samoa Joe table spot, and still wondering, even watching SmackDown, like how legitimate that injury is.
I
want to believe it's all the work, but like, It's weird. A lot of the Joe stuff, and we're getting to SmackDown, but that was a table spot when he landed. I didn't like how he landed, and I'm like, I don't want to be worked. But it was like he landed really weird on it, and we know he's had some injury with the leg in the past. And then what they did with the Jeff Hardy stuff today was really weird. I thought Sean's bump was fine, and we'll get to Joe in a second. But I thought Sean was probably the best part of that match, and Hunter was okay. Taker should just stop. Like, at least the tag is safe. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I hope that Kane takes a majority of the match. Even though I don't want Kane, I think Kane, just go be a mayor, man. Like, stop.
Help the ratings. And I mean, yeah, I think I'm, you know, there's
it's ruining Taker. Like, I liked they did it. You and I loved they did it in Mania, right? Like, came in, chokeslam, pedigree, maybe an old school. That's all I wanted to see from Taker. I didn't need to see Undertaker wrestle. What was it, 27 minutes?
It should have been 12 minutes. What are you doing taking Taker to do? No, that's bad. Bad Vince.
Someone yeah, I didn't like it. That was really McMahon. Dumb. Yeah.
No, that's not a good choice. That really is not a good choice. I think Taker has to be done next year. Like he's probably do something at Mania, but I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if there's anyone that can wrestle a 5-star match in his 50s, it's Shawn Michaels.
So. Yeah. What did you think about them bringing back DX instead of doing the separate entities of Triple H and Shawn? Is it just a thing for, we know the Saudi Arabia crowd and they like a lot of the older stuff. I mean, they asked for Yokozuna and the Ultimate Warrior. So we kind of know the demographic of wrestling they care about. So I guess DX just adds to that. And yeah. It bumped up the ratings, and they have a shirt that's going to do gamebusters for the next little bit.
And they can thank the Young Bucks for that.
100%, because DX never really did Too Sweet. And I'm going to hear some people say, well, they were one of the origins of Too Sweet. DX never really did Too Sweet unless they were around Nash and Hall.
And they weren't around Nash and Hall for the end of Sean's career. So
even when X-Pac came back, did he do a Too Sweet with him? Or did they do that weird, like, X, like, hand a high five?
I think they did the X hand five thing.
And yeah, then, they never really did Too Sweet, really.
And then when Sean and Hunter got back together, it was just a whole bunch of crotch chops and telling and making fun of Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot of Too Sweets with that. So, I mean, it makes sense. Might as well cash in on that.
I mean, look, I don't really buy wrestling shirts very often, but I was like, that's a pretty cool shirt. I think it's a good job on this shirt. And, you know, I mean, look, I've always kind of had a thing that I want the younger guys and girls to do good, but I thought Raw had a nice balance of everything. You know, these shows are helping having some of the older talent on them, and I thought they did a good job of using those older talent. And I got a little nostalgic here in the DX theme. I'm pretty sure this is going to be more of the 2006 DX, which wasn't great and had the infamous Vince Loves Cock shirt. So that DX wasn't the greatest, but I did like that Sean came out super serious. I did like that Hunter came out super serious, and I did like the seriousness of the promo. And it is technically a dream match having DX versus the Brothers of Destruction, although it's a combined age of what, like 204 years old, I think it is.
It's a lot of years. That's a lot of years. I mean, here's the thing. This is a draw for that specific show. But I know people will complain about it. But just think, in less than a year's time, we could be talking about that Shawn Michaels wrestled AJ Styles at WrestleMania. So just, you know, it might suck now, but think of what we might get at the end, which is a gold-filled wrestling match that needs to happen. I want it to happen. I'm demanding that it happens, especially if, by some chance, I'm in New York and I'm sitting in that crowd and I can say I saw Shawn Michaels wrestle AJ Styles, which if you time-traveled back, say, 10 years ago and told someone that, they would say you were insane because that would never happen because Vince would never sign AJ Styles.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I think the highlight of all that is that Shawn Michaels is going to be wrestling again. The downside is is that they have to do this tag match, which is probably not going to be very good, but will be a draw, and I'm interested and excited about seeing it. And then Shawn may, if the rumors are true, face Undertaker at Survivor Series, which I'm not looking forward to because Taker just shouldn't be wrestling anymore. And yeah, and I'm assuming that Taker is maybe going to face Cena at WrestleMania for a rematch as well. I'm kind of done. Really, you look back at that Roman match, and more, it's like, that's really how it should have ended.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you should have left it be. And you couldn't. You just couldn't leave it be.
So there was that. Let's talk about another legend that showed up. The Sultan of Shawarma. He was, that guy, out of all the random guys, was my favorite.
Well,
that guy has a future on 205 Live one day. Maybe just as a jobber, but I thought, like, in the segments like that, you're always kind of looking for the next James Ellsworth. And I thought maybe that's the next James Ellsworth just because he had some charisma and he made the best out of it. But, I mean, the highlight was the Conquistador.
It was so shocking when he ripped the mask off and it was revealed to actually have been a conquistador, not anyone else. It was
shocking that the conquistador from Mexico was using German suplexes.
Yeah, that's the wrong country. That was a great line.
Can you imagine if he would have done Three Amigos, like the day before Eddie's birthday?
Oh, that would have been great. Yeah. Especially in that Chicago crowd.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the most fluid and like he did a little side roll there. So Kurt looked great.
Kurt looked phenomenal. Like, Kurt looked good, and it got me pretty excited to see Kurt in some of these matches. One of those dream opponents, we were talking about earlier, Samoa Joe isn't going to be part of that, so that was kind of a bummer, because we all want to see Kurt and Joe in WWE, but, you know, there are some potential opponents coming up. We're all hoping that Seth Rollins is in this, because we now know Daniel Bryan in this, so we're not going to get Bryan and Kurt just yet. But we'd all love to have Seth Rollins and Kurt Angle in this.
Oh, well, we'd love to have that. But, you know, the other match that they could go to, it's a nostalgic act. And I could see them doing it at the Saudi show, is Rey Mysterio versus Kurt Angle.
Oh, that was good. And Cena and Kurt, you get some feels there. Cena, Randy and Kurt, there's some stuff in that. But, I mean, this World Cup, Joel, I mean, it's just so tremendous. I mean, you have Canada. John Cena, America. Kurt Angle, America. Jeff Hardy, America. And then you have
Angle. No. You have the Conquistador.
Right.
So it's not America.
Right. Kurt's technically on vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. At least next week we have Japan and Mexico.
It kind of sucks that you will only get Japan or Mexico. I'd like to have both.
And now, as we're jumping all over the place, Bobby Lashley turned heel. Finally, he wanted it. Apparently, he went to management and asked, can I please turn heel? I'd love to know what the original plan was with Leo Rush to make him a babyface, but as soon as Leo Rush came to him, we all kind of figured he was going to turn. I think the bigger part of that is that Kevin Owens suffered a leg injury. It seemed to be minor, but, you know, you can always go into surgery and things can be worse than thought, so we'll find out.
This match was to write him out.
Yeah.
This was done to get him off TV. And it feels like he's a babyface. So I think him becoming a babyface, and especially if he can come back with Sammy, I don't know. I think Kevin Owens is a babyface. He works a style that works for being a babyface.
Plus the story with his kid.
Yeah.
His son.
I think that there's so much you could do. And I think it's kind of like the Dean situation. I think an injury might be for the best.
I think that was huge for him. I think it was huge for someone like Sasha, who has a concussion right now, rumoredly. I think that's the best for both of them.
Yeah.
Just it's that fresh coat of paint, right? And for Bobby, I think it was a fresh coat of paint for Bobby. I think he's came in and he had that match against Brock, against Roman, and it never mattered. Because he kind of seemed like he was heating up there. And now having Leo Rush, I think this is really good for Bobby Lashley. He's probably going to have this feud with Finn. He'll destroy Finn. And my guess at this point is if there's no Cena Taker, it maybe could be Bobby Lashley and Cena.
Yeah, they could revisit. Yeah, they could be revisiting an old well. It very much seems like Cena's winding down based on the super card. It just seems
and the
like,
super fist.
Yep.
The thunder fist.
He's got some sneaky moves, that guy. It seems like his career's done. Like, see, it's a shame because now you kind of see the value of Cena overall. It's a sad day to think Cena will not be appearing on my screen weekly. As much as there was a point where you hated Cena, you're gonna miss Cena, and I think right now you revisit that 2006 match with Bobby, which I believe Cena won, and potentially kind of start heating up Bobby Lashley to being something more. And pairing him with Leo Rush is brilliant for a guy that could have very well been released from the company for his comments. He's weathered a storm, and I think he's found the perfect spot for himself. Is 205 Live and being Bobby Lashley's manager. And he can wrestle and he can take bumps. So you have a guy that can be physically involved in things in such a way that I think is huge.
I would agree. So I'm happy for that for Lashley. And we had another big heel turn that I guess is a heel turn, even though the crowd was kind of going against it, as the Bellas finally turned on Ronda. Look, there's probably a lot of better opponents we'd want to have for Ronda, but say what you want to say for the Bellas, they get reactions, and they've been at this for a while, and it's, you know, it may be Evolution, but for them, it's a Bellalution.
You're right, they get a reaction. There's certain people are going to enjoy watching Ronda rip both their arms off. So, I mean, there's that, and that's what you want with Ronda. So unless Nikki beats Ronda.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Some of the talk about why they turned is kind of weird, and I'm sure they'll figure something out. At one point, this was rumored to just be face versus face because of what the Bella brand is and what it means to the company and the charity stuff that they do and all that stuff you've heard, and them having total Bellas and total Divas, and the company may be worried about could they sell Nikki now if she is a heel. But the crowd was already kind of booing Nikki. Brie, they kind of seem confused on at times because they're not sure what to do with Brie. But we're going to get Nikki and Ronda. Ronda's had a pretty good. She had a really good match with Nia Jax, and I think Nikki's a better wrestler than Nia Jax. So it should be a good match regardless and we'll probably do one or two of those and start building up to whoever Ronda's going to face at Mania. It's probably still going to be Charlotte, but maybe there's an outside chance for Becky.
Josh.
Yeah, Charlotte. Anyway. So, yeah, that match, it's going to be what it is at Evolution. We've known it for a while. It's for the title. It's arguably, outside of Charlotte, the two biggest names in the company for women in the mainstream. So that's why they're doing that match. Any last comments on that?
Nope.
We had the women's segment with Trish and Lita coming back. It apparently, even though that was advertised, the Bliss and Trish match, and then the Lita and Nikki match, especially the Trish one. The idea, apparently, according to what John Pollock was told, was that this was always supposed to be a tag match, which I call bullshit on.
Yeah, I think that the injury changed things.
Yeah, I think the injury changed things, although they said that she's fine, but I think the injury changed things, and I actually do think it's for the best, because I don't know how well Lita would have done in a singles match at this point in her career.
Yeah, that's because, like we've kind of talked about, is that neck injury. And you don't, especially for a one-off, you don't really want, you want to give it your best, but I don't want to have anyone risk their health for giving it their all. And I think having this tag team match kind of helps protect them, which is exactly what you want.
I would agree. So they had that, and then we had the main event. Better match than they had at Showdown. Really good match between the Dogs of War and the Shield, and we just had more of a tease of Ambrose.
Ambrose doesn't like to lose, apparently.
No, apparently not. If I win, we're all good. If we lose, F you guys.
Yep, and Strowman almost ate Ziggler, so McIntyre had to get involved.
Yep.
So
it's very weird too because they lose even though Roman just destroyed Braun on Super Showdown with a spear and Roman saved him. And once again, the analogy that we both came up with, the Shield is shielding Roman Reigns right now.
That's the only reason it's there.
Because no one's even really thinking about Roman as champion. Heyman came out, did the whole promo, which was kind of surprising. And I was like, oh yeah, right. He's having a triple threat match at Crown Jewel. Roman is the champion. But we're not thinking about that. We're just thinking about the Shield stuff.
Yeah, that's the main focus, Josh. That's all that matters.
But really good Raw. I thought the highlight for me was seeing Kurt be pretty interestingly decent in the ring. Probably one of the best Corbin situations in a while. I thought Corbin running down all the different countries was pretty funny. Corey Graves had some really great one-liners in there. And then later Corey didn't realize that his mic was hot and kind of messed up, but made it back. So that was interesting as well.
Is Brock here?
Yeah, is Brock here? I mean, he could have said worse things, right?
Oh, that would have been more entertaining. But we'll leave that be.
SmackDown. I just gotta say, for what they, I don't know. They did. I guess they didn't really have any qualifying matches that were traditional. But all the video packages that were done in SmackDown to hype the matchup was something out of NXT or a Cruiserweight Challenge, and I absolutely loved it. And it got me excited to see these World Cup matches that I was kind of meh on in the first place.
The video packages done right are phenomenal. Yeah. Any update on Charlotte and her wrist?
So Charlotte did the Mixed Match Challenge.
She did? Okay. Okay, so
yeah,
that's good.
She apparently didn't do as much. I mean, AJ did get the X because he had a split off with R-Truth. And AJ didn't land so good.
Well, he's run out of room for tattoos.
Which, by the way, you can now watch the Mixed Match Challenge in Canada because now we have Facebook Watch.
Woo!
But yeah, him and Charlotte did win. Charlotte did do the match. Let's talk about that opening. That was a really good match between the two of them, better than what they had at Super Showdown. And then they took the Rhino spot. And busted the set, so I wonder if SmackDown's going to get some kind of new set for SmackDown 1000. I doubt it, but nonetheless, it was a really cool spot. Ruined, I don't want to say ruined, but you could definitely hear Charlotte talking to Becky quite a bit during it, audibly, of, are you okay? I'm sorry. How's your head? You could hear them talking to each other quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff's going to happen.
Yeah, it's fine. Just you'll see it on Botchamania, I'm sure, on the You Talk Too Much segment. But nonetheless, really cool, really, really cool spot in that match. One, I think it's one of those unforgettable spots that we're never going to forget.
Yeah. It was a good spot, but not necessarily a fan of the blood on Charlotte. I mean, she's fine,
yeah,
but it's still...
I think it's because she ran, her wrist came down, and it scratched against the Titantron there.
Yeah.
So that's why that happened. I would have liked more of an update on Becky. It's really interesting, and I saw someone brought this online, and I can't take credit. It's like, in the past, they would have done that spot, and they would have said, Becky suffered a concussion. But now they dare not say that word just in passing.
Oh God, no! I mean, we've had long conversations about CTE and concussions, just the change, and yeah, it's just not something worth mentioning. But
also, they are really making Becky a chicken shit heel, and it's still the crowd does not care.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, you gotta protect the brand, Josh, but also. You've got money and you've got money in Becky, so cash in, just do it. Yeah. Becky's great.
Yeah, so, I don't know. They're really just trying to go against it. I mean, Charlotte doing that spear obviously will help Charlotte a little bit, but it's gonna help her on that day. I don't know how much it's gonna help Charlotte when you go into Raw 1000 next week.
Yeah, no, I think the crowd's firmly gonna be behind. Becky again. I mean, the Aussies cheered when Becky took a title and decked Charlotte. So
this is true. So I mean, for the most part, that's one of the better women. It's probably the best women's shoot they've had right now. It's still getting the most buzz. That spot was electric. Joe,
weird week for – terrible week for Samoa Joe. The leg injury, I think it's obviously a work. I'm like 99% sure. But what do you think about this whole leg thing and what they're doing with the leg injury?
It's an easy out for Joe.
Yeah.
That his leg is so busted that he couldn't continue. And you saw how much he was fighting against it for them calling the match. So, I mean, they showed that they had an out. But whether that's a good out remains to be seen.
Yeah. I'm wondering what the plans are for Joe. Do you think they just simply take him off TV for now? I mean, some new house shows came up around here in Canada. In Calgary, him and AJ are, and obviously card subject to change always, but they are advertising him and AJ in an ODQ match for the WWE title. And with everything that happened with Brian and AJ today, I'm assuming that Miz is going to get somehow involved in that match. And you had been thinking a Fatal 4-Way for a while, so I couldn't even just see Miz get involved. I could see Joe get involved in that match and somehow as well. And maybe a Fatal 4-Way comes at Survivor Series.
Yeah, that would make sense. I've been on that kick for a while, so hopefully I'm right.
Because I doubt they're going to give us that whole singles match myself, just with everything that Miz was involved in. I thought maybe if Shelton had gotten the win over AJ tonight, with Shelton having the win over Brian, that they would have done something with Shelton and AJ, but it seems like Shelton getting cleanly pinned from AJ, Shelton may go back to the bench.
Yeah. It was nice while it lasted, wasn't it?
Yeah, but Joe's been... I didn't think Jeff would win, but, I mean, technically Joe didn't lose. He just couldn't continue. And so maybe they'll do some storyline of take Joe off of TV for a bit, get him back nice and healthy, and then he'll attack AJ again, maybe.
I'm not finished with you. It worked pretty for much. Braun, so...
It did work for Braun. We have Rey Mysterio versus Shinsuke Nakamura next week on Raw 1000, which is going to be really, really fun.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Rey's going to win that, obviously, but...
I think so.
That's going to be a fun match. I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited to have Rey back.
Yeah, we'll get more into SmackDown 1000 stuff and some of the rumors there. We got the rest of the Milwaukee tape, which was kind of a letdown.
Well, Corey Graves was certainly disappointed.
Big Show wrestled for the first time in a year, and apparently he's on SmackDown. Right now he's a babyface, so we'll see when he turns heel for the 1,000th time. Do you think that...
SmackDown 1,000.
Do you think with Big Show back now that there is any chance of the Shaq match still?
No. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to think about it. I do not care. You have constantly talked about it, and I just don't give a damn.
I know they tease it at the ESPYs again this year. There's three things guaranteed with Big Show. He's going to randomly turn at some point. They're going to talk about how good Big Show looks, and they're going to randomly start talking about the Shaq feud. These are guaranteed things when you talk about Big Show.
I do not give a damn.
Randy obviously won his match, so right now it's the World America Cup.
Gotta make America great again.
And I don't think we'll have any Canadians in there now that Owens is hurt.
Yeah, we're kind of SOL on that, but I mean...
Unless Ty Dillinger really pulls out a big one for us.
He could. I mean, shocking things have happened in the World Cup, Josh, so this could be the shocking moment for us.
Yeah, like England losing to a small country.
Isn't that the same thing it's a common occurrence, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll see. So that's WWE programming. Not terrible this week. The big thing will be now is we go into Raw. Raw next week will be whatever it is, but SmackDown 1000. We have Rey Mysterio return now, like we were talking about, the face Shinsuke Nakamura, which will be really fun. And then we have the return of Evolution, which will be interesting what they do with Big Dave.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, but I mean, Dave left Evolution on bad terms. So are they leading? Is Batista going to be at WrestleMania this year? Is this to lead to something, or is this just a one-off? I'm very interested to see what the future holds for Dave.
Randy's a heel.
So he'll probably do the exact same thing. He'll probably be like, I want nothing to do with you guys.
Which he did on Raw 1000. He didn't go to the reunion on Raw 1000. Will he do the same on SmackDown 1000?
Oh, yeah, 100%. We'll get to see what Flair looks like. And see if Flair's still alive, so.
I'm sure he'll have a segment with Becky.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, that worked out well the last time.
So there's one big question about SmackDown. If one performer will appear, what the most important performer in the history of SmackDown, and you know who I'm talking about, Playa.
James Ellsworth?
No, Teddy Long.
Oh, I thought it was James Ellsworth.
We need Teddy Long. He's got to make a match with The Undertaker!
Well, Undertaker's going to be there too, so...
Right, so there you go. Maybe he could do a tag match too.
Yeah.
Six-man tag match. But no, there is rumors that The Rock is going to be there, and there's even some talk that Rock could be there to set up a WrestleMania match.
Oh, man, but I really want to go to New York.
The interesting thing is the rumored match for Rocky is Roman, and I don't think Roman has been scheduled for SmackDown.
He just has to say something about a dog, neutering a dog.
I will say, like, for Raw 25, they did a pretty good job of not putting, like, SmackDown talent on there. Like, Randy Orton wasn't on that show. Like, I think the only SmackDown talent that was on there was Brian and AJ.
Yeah.
Like, so they did a pretty good job of not having everybody on there. Is there any other, I guess we won't have Cena on there. I don't know if we will or not. And apparently Cena's part of the Raw brand now.
Things change on the fly.
Also, when you're John Cena, you don't have to qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah, you're a 16-time world champion. I don't think you should
have. The greatest ever. That's the new tagline. The greatest ever.
Is that what his tagline is now?
That's what Michael Cole hit us over the head with over and over at Super Showdown. And then again when they had the talk for him going into this World Cup.
Greatest ever. Interesting. Well, that means he's going to the finals.
Yeah. And, so there's the... I think they've done a good job. I'm sorry, like, I'm kind of excited for this Crown Jewels show. It's turning out to be kind of a big show. I mean, and not to mention all the matches, it's going to be the return of Hogan, so I'm interested to see how that goes.
Is that confirmed?
It's not been confirmed, but I guess it's a rumor, so let's put it for that for now. So there's that, and Evolution is shaping up decently. I'm excited to see Team Bestie go together. And then I'll hit on one note, and then I'll let you go out. I just want to talk about the heel heat that Elias had last week. Tremendous doing that in Seattle. He hit all the right beats. And if you were going to talk crap about a sports team, that's a city I can tell a lot of people that is not over their NBA team losing, because their NBA team was promised that it would stay, and it was taken more or less in the middle of the night by an owner that lied to them, by a commissioner that lied to them that the team would be staying. And the WNBA team won the championship this year, led by Sue Bird and Breonna Stewart, and they were absolutely phenomenal. But as you saw this week, it's funny. Elias had so much heel heat that even Kevin Durant, the most hated player in the NBA wearing a Sonics jersey, got a pop in Seattle.
That it's strange times.
Yeah. So kudos to Elias, man. When we started the show, I just didn't fully get it in NXT, and I think that was as a wrestler. But that guy right now is absolute fire. He is a Hall of Fame. He will be a Hall of Famer for me in a different reason. He is, like, you're seeing Walk with Elias stuff for the Calgary Flames right now, have Elias Lindholm, and that's one of the main tags right now for him. He's the guy that you bring in for the celebrities. He's the guy you bring in for the arc. Elias is in the wrong era, really. Elias should be in the 1980s.
Oh, he'd be fantastic.
Elias is just fantastic. He's the perfect bridge for anything. It works for whatever he does. He can do no wrong, and I was absolutely wrong about him. He is a perfect transitional guy to have for the WWE. And that heel heat that he got and the way that he worked it and milked it, even getting in now Oklahoma, was just a really good and well-done job by Elias.
Gotta gain that heel heat when you can, and WWE's gotta beat it to death. But Elias as a whole has worked out fantastic on the main roster, and I'm really excited to see what's next. I don't think he's got a long term career. I mean, he had a really good match with Seth for the IC title. Mm-hmm. So this is a guy that can wrestle when needed to. So let's see what the walking with Elias will lead us to.
I have one last big thing. Did you have anything else?
I think I've hit on everything that's made me happy.
We also have a pay-per-view this week. Bound for Glory. And like you were talking about, we could see Bound for Jericho. I just want to run down the card really quick. Obviously, Joel and I have not been watching Impact on a daily basis at all. But I think, you know, it's their biggest show of the year, so I figured let's just run down the card and see what they have. I'm interested in possibly, I've got to look into a Global Force account, but I'm interested in what the show could bring. So, Joel, here's the card. In a concrete jungle death match.
Okay.
You have the Latin American exchange of Santana, Ortiz, and Conan against the OGs of Hernandez, Homicide, and King, which is Eddie Kingston.
Okay.
In an OVE rules match, which more or less sounds like a hardcore match with barbed wire and all that good fun stuff. You have Ohio vs. Everything, which is David Christ, Jack Christ, and Sammy Callahan, and they take on Brian Cage, Phoenix, and Pentagon Jr.
Oh, boy.
You have a singles match with Eddie Edwards vs. Moose. Okay. You have a tag match which has Matt Sydal and Ethan Page against Rich Swann and TBA.
Okay.
And you have the Knockouts Championship, which has Tessa Blanchard against Taya Valkyrie. All
right.
And then for the Singles Impact World Heavyweight Championship, you have the champion, Austin Aries, taking on the man that's currently on Survivor, Johnny Impact.
So how is he getting from the island to Impact tapings? Are they flying him?
Jeff Probst just gives him a special treatment.
Oh, there we go. Okay, cool, yeah. Cool.
I mean, that's got to be the greatest title win of all time. Like, he's deprived of all the major accommodations, but he can still wrestle for the championship.
There you go. Yeah, that sounds like a good card. I foresee where we could see Jericho pop up.
Do you think it's the tag match, or you think it's the where Sammy Callahan is?
Sammy Callahan.
Right. You think he dresses in Pentagon again?
Oh, my God. If he does, that would be brilliant.
I will say just the idea of Jericho being at the show, I think, is added buzz to Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
I got to give credit to Scott D'Amore and Don Callis. They tore everything apart. They let guys like EC3 go and Bobby Lashley go, and other big names, Chelsea Green, who rumored right now has signed with the WWE. I really hope that's true, because Chelsea is super talented. But they let really big, talented men and women leave the company and said, if you want to go, you can go. And some they just took because they didn't want to pay them, like Bobby Lashley, for example, and EC3. And they tore it down, and they built it back up, Joel. And great job by Scott D'Amore and Don Callis.
And they had that meeting with WWE, so who knows what that could lead to.
And they've built stars. I think, you know, we knew who Pentagon was a while ago, but I think Pentagon has been rose to another level from outside of being on Lucha Underground. Don't get me wrong, Lucha Underground has made stars. I think they made Ricochet a star, being Prince Puma, right? But Pentagon here, I think, has helped raise Pentagon and knowing who he is. Phoenix, All In definitely helped Phoenix, but being an Impact has helped him. I think Brian Cage has paid a lot from being here. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yep.
And then, you know, Tessa Blanchard, we already kind of knew from the Indies, but she's obviously doing a good job here. Moose got raised from here, and Aries, who didn't get to do a lot in WWE, is getting to be here. And I'm really happy for Rich Swann with all the weird stuff that happened to him last year, that he is seems to be really happy in Impact right now.
They're, you know, if there was ever a deal worked out with WWE and they found a way to have some more like Impact on, like, you, they had a distribution deal where you could watch Impact on there, and they started adding old TNA stuff on there. I know they have the Global Force, but if it became another spot where you could watch Impact Wrestling, I think it'd be beneficial to them. I think you'd get more households than Pop TV, and I think it raises your stock in value. And even if you had like a revolving door of a tape, not like the full tape library, but different parts of the tape library on there as kind of a precursor to go to the Global Force Wrestling network, then I think that's something you could do. We've already seen that they've had advertisements for both Kurt and the Hardys. So this could be positive, but they've definitely taken this company and rebuilt it to being something really, really good for pro wrestling as a whole. I don't want WWE to buy it, but if they can kind of build it up a bit, that would be cool.
It's funny. You and I have done so many podcasts over the last little bit, just absolutely ripping TNA Impact to shreds. Every single time we've talked about it, it's about, oh, WWE may buy them. I think this is the first time in 2 years we've talked positively and just overall about the Impact product, outside of maybe a Final Deletion.
I know. It's funny how times change with Impact, and you just have the right pieces involved, and you just get something good, and you have the right talent around right now. It's an exciting time for a wrestling fan because there's a lot of positives going for it right now.
So good for them, good for Impact. I'm happy for them. I don't know if I'm going to be watching the show or not, but I'm at least excited that there's another company that's doing things. And, you know, Ring of Honor and Japan, it definitely superseded them. But I'm glad that there's just wrestling right now. You have talked about there's so many options to watch things. And we talked about the rise of Ring of Honor and New Japan as an outlet if you don't like WWE to watch. Well, Impact is putting out a nice little niche there to go with, and maybe when some of these bigger free agents from the Ring of Honors and the Japans and wherever become free, maybe they'll start considering going to Impact instead of going right to NXT.
See, and that's the thing. And it's another spot that people can go and get paid.
Or if this WWE deal happens, maybe they say, like, you know what, go to Impact instead of NXT right now.
Yeah, no, it could it may actually be the best way to do it right now.
So yeah, that's it. It was a crazy busy week in pro wrestling. It gets a little slower this week. Like we said, Bound for Glory will be the big show, and they do their taping on a Thursday. Well, they've done the tapings, but their shows air on a Thursday, so I'm sure there's been more matches that will be announced. Those are the six that are announced right now. But Joel, what was your overall highlight of the week?
It was Jay White.
That sounded like quite a big deal. I would say it would probably be Ospreay getting the win over a heavyweight and then getting to see his promo after was pretty good. I also just love that the Becky and the Charlotte spot. I thought that was really well done as well. But I'd have to say Ospreay being the heavyweight, and Ospreay's a guy I really liked, and the possibility of him moving up to heavyweight and the potential matches that Ospreay can have, that would be mine. But Jay White's not too far off either.
No, see, that's the nice thing, is there's so many positive things going.
Yeah. I hate that we're this positive. I wish there's more negative things to be negative about, but it is what it is. Some weeks we're just a little more positive. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Make sure you check out all the wonderful stuff here on Stick Boy. Make sure you check out all the great stuff on We Talk Podcast, We Talk Comics, and We Talk Music and Electric Boogaloo, their movie series. Go check out all that. And make sure you go over to Fresh Take. We have the Nostalgia Lane podcast. We have a full NHL preview, NBA previews coming this week. Everything you need to know in sports and pop culture is up there. And just everything that we have here on the We Talk Podcast Network. For Joel Johnson, I'm Joshua Adam Lamar. Until next time, cheers.
Don't go on SmackDown, because you're going to end up getting speared through the set.
Enjoy the day, people.